Next case is 99-2206, Kent Traffic Company, the first Clark County Board of Elections.
I question. What he wants to say on the basis of my estimate.
I know, of course not. I thought it was good, spoke right up as well. You got it. Yes. The time is off. Well, I'm sick of it.
Mr. Leto, I think that's serious on your business.
Very big man.
This place is on report, my name is Tom Day. My brother, Shane Day, is here with me on the council table today.
Serious camp.
We are representing Callan Solutions Shopping Center, Inc. I would respectfully request 4 minutes be reserved for rebuttal, Your Honor. First of all, members of this board, I want to say thank you. Thank you for agreeing to hear this case and allowing us to present oral arguments to you here today. Many facts are important in this case. Unfortunately, some of the many important facts cannot even be presented to you today because we are here before you on the County Police Court's dismissal of our complaint. So we were not able to present the totality of facts that we would be able to do so in a trial. We believe that our complaint does state a claim upon which relief can be granted. Let's take a look at some of the facts that, however, are before you. Some stipulated and found in our complaint, which are presumed to be valid for purposes of a motion to dismiss. First of all, the most important fact is that the person that submitted the local option election did not have the sufficient number of signatures necessary to have a local option election be placed on the ballot. The legislature clearly requires 35% of the number of voters who voted in the preceding gubernatorial election, and though and that petition did not happen.
But
that petition was not challenged in the usual way, correct?
You are 100% correct, Your Honor. The reason it wasn't challenged in the usual way is because there was no effective notice given to anyone that would have a reason to challenge this petition. If there had been effective notice, I don't mean a gesture, as was referred to in the Central Trust case, where clearly this court found, you've got to have meaningful notice. It's not just a question of gesture. There was no meaningful notice. In fact, the legislature chose not to even require publication of a liquor license election in the classified ad in the city of Springfield, back by the classified ads. The permit holder that was involved, Big Bear, Dinky permit holder, Big Bear, they sent the notice to their local store, even though it's a stipulated fact, in the stipulation of fact, that the liquor department routinely sends the notices to its corporate offices in Columbus, or for somebody to be.
So Big Bear, the grocery store that was in this hall, selling alcohol at the time.
Yes, sir.
Got actual notice at that office to the store manager. There's a license going on here to say this couldn't take away your ability to sell liquor out of the store.
They got actual, there is correct, Your Honor, that employees at Big Bear did indeed sign the certified mail notice. The craziness of this election, Your Honor, would have meant that if a typical employee, not a member of a management team, would have gotten that notice, however, it would have been meaningless. The reason is, we have a further complicating factor in the situation, that the only reason it was a local option election in this precinct, unlike almost all the other ones that this court has seen in these cases, or the appeals court has seen, is because there were two precincts that were combined. Big Bear has always been selling alcoholic beverages. They combined one precinct with another precinct that was dry, and a very nice lady, named Mrs. Cosmos, wanted to have...
I understand. But I, you know, when the store manager sees this thing and says it's going to be a local option, election.
I believe in this place, you took it from me.
What does he make it? The place is nice. Doesn't that put him on notice that we better find out something more about this?
Your Honor, if I believe the stipulation says that two employees, not necessarily the store manager.
Well, is that required under the statute? The postman has to find the most responsible person at an address?
You are 100% correct, Your Honor. It does not require that you have to find the most responsible person. But what I believe the statute does require, and also due process requires, is that notice of an election, and frankly, even to have valid elections, period, I believe most required, is that notice go to the meaningful location. For example, there's been a case law.
Why wouldn't the store that's most effective be the meaningful location? I mean, are we really talking about maybe the employee that screwed up and didn't get it from the manager, or the manager that screwed up and didn't get it from the headquarters? The fault seems to be lying in their chain of command from day to now.
Well, Your Honor, I really think the fault is the Ohio Department of Liquor Control routinely sent important correspondence to the corporate address of Big Bear. Liquor license renewals, for example.
Is there any obligation for the liquor department to notify a landlord who doesn't hold the liquor option purely a landlord?
The answer is the statute does not provide a requirement that a landlord be notified.
So you really needed to depend on Big Bear checking its own insurance to be sure they pay the tenant to
the statute is worded, that is 100% correct, Your Honor. We contend that that's a fundamentally flaw in the statute.
So, under your interpretation, you would have to not only serve the tenant to hold the liquor permit, but find out all the landlords, even if they couldn't be out of state, and serve landlords?
Ma'am, I believe that the landlord should be served with notice, because the landlord has clearly the biggest loss that can be sustained in the event that liquor licenses are not renewed.
For the sake of argument, you've convinced me that you didn't get notice, okay? You defile an election contest, in the case, 15 days.
Your Honor, I did not, because there was no one had effective notice in time to file election contest. In this statute, if you're going to design a
was
statute...
Was it a secret election, was it?
No one
had notice of the election. What kind of election was it? I don't understand. Didn't you see the results of the election? Weren't your clients absolutely mystified? How could this happen? And then can't you contest that election?
Your Honor, if we had noticed that the results of the election happened, certainly we could have. And certainly, if Zoo Shopping Center had had notice.
So you didn't notice you didn't know that the election took place, period?
Absolutely not. Zoo Shopping Center did not know that the election took place, period. And nobody in a position of authority at Big Bear knew it either. And very frankly, Your Honor, in terms of a valid election, I respectfully
Zoo
Shopping Center and the Big Bear store knew one or very.
Let me stop you there. Justice Sweeney was still interested in
No, that's all right. No, I'm through. He had notice of nothing, not he, from what he says.
So they're not involved in the community even enough to, as Justice Sweeney pointed out, know there was an election?
Sure, that is absolutely 100% not correct. Let's talk about Zoo Shopping Center. Zoo Shopping Center's principal owner, frankly, monitors the newspaper on a daily basis. See if anything is happening that could affect that particular shopping center and his own other property interests. So that's a fact. But if you're going to design a statute in which it's almost designed, I don't think the legislature literally did this, but if you design a statute in which nobody really knows what's happening, look at the local option election right now. They don't require any publication of the newspaper. Now, other elections, for example, as appeared in Tuesday's newspaper in Springfield, elections that increase millage got to be in the newspaper. Other elections, you at least got to have an ad publicizing in the newspaper. In this particular case, nobody knew it.
But Justice Sweeney's question was, nobody knew it after the election was over?
That's correct, Your Honor. The first time the Zoo Shopping Center, Inc. knew that there was a local option election held is, and stipulating the facts in terms of Big Bear, is after the State Ohio Department of Liquor Control had sent a notice to Big Bear saying, guess what, you've got to send your license back in because there's been a local option election. That's the first time. That was past the period of time that we could file an election contest under Article Section 35.
Counsel, I have one other question.
Yes,
because you spent, I'm not sure how it's relevant to legal issues. You spent a lot of time to agree about the licenses, the loss of $1 million in revenue to the shopping center because of this. Does in fact,
it's not like a presidential.
The police with Big Bear give them the right to terminate if the citizens of the local townships drive the township.
Yeah, the lease is not, Your Honor, but I'm saying,
why all that talk in brief?
Because, Your Honor, Big Bear, for the last few years, has been on a year-to-year extension of its lease. For example, just recently, they extended the lease. The lease was going to expire December the 31st of this year. They just recently extended it to December the 31st of 2001.
May that not also have to do with the fragile economic condition of the traffic itself?
It has to do with itself, alcohol, and Your Honor, it has to do with lots of things, but it also has to do with the fragile economic neighborhood that we find ourselves in. And I think that it's important that we have meaningful elections so we have meaningful notice, not just to protect property owners like Zoo Shopping Center, but it's important to have a meaningful election in order to protect the electors themselves. For example, Your Honor, it's pled in the brief that there are a significant number of elderly people in the neighborhood in which the Big Bear and Southern Village Shopping Center is located. It is in one of our more economically stressed areas of Springfield. Those people rely on that grocery store to be able to get their food that they need to live on. Stated in the complaint that many of those people walk to work. It's their only grocery store that's available. So if there had been notice, any kind of notice, meaningful notice to Big Bear or to Zoo Shopping Center, there would have been a meaningful election held. There would have been publicity of the election. And we were frankly, I don't think we'd find ourselves in front of you here today if that had happened.
Even though the liquor license is revoked, Big Bear's still there?
The liquor license at present has not been revoked. It has been saved by the grocery store.
So
there's,
Big Bear is still selling liquor there.
Yes, ma'am.
Have they notified you that it goes, that they are
moving? They have not specifically made that statement to Zoo Shopping Center, Inc. I know that that store is a booming store. And that particular neighborhood, the ability to sell beer and wine,
He's charged with notice, but there's an easier way. We used to do this for my clients all the time. We used to use the precincts just before the election. So you get a new card saying, I don't go to St. Mary's Church anymore, go to Marjorie School.
The actual permit holder, Your Honor, Big Bear, has corporate offices.
Because of the rules of precincts, because of
they do not have any corporate offices.
I used to have
one of the smaller stores
all the time.
Is that one of your arguments?
No, ma'am, I'm not going to say that. I believe that it's easy enough to do. The cost of selling groceries to the shopping center owner is easy enough to do. In order for a liquor license to be obtained in the state of Ohio, when you first obtain a liquor license, you have to get permission of the owner of a particular location. It is easy enough to send certified mail notice to the owner. The cost is very cheap. And in this particular case, two shots that are in the only landlord that's affected, it's the only owner of a shopping center or any location.
Counselor, let me try a different way, because you're not getting across, I don't think, with regard to the not knowing about elections and those kinds of things. You know, I used to do this kind of work, and I understand it's hard when they rearrange the precincts and you don't know who's in which precinct, and maybe nobody in this precinct even worked at this shopping center. So they wouldn't know an election was going on. I understand all that, except that's not, to me, very strong on the legal basis. What I'd like to know is, and I want to go to your stipulation of facts. You indicate at number 23 that the number of valid signatures needed to qualify in a local petition are 35%. Now in 27 you say that's 80 signatures that were required. Is that correct? Okay. In 29 you say that the signatures she submitted were 77, 76, and 77. Wasn't that more than enough signatures?
No, she needed 80, Your Honor, and she didn't have 80 on any of them. She needed 80 and she had less than 80. She had 76. She had less than 80 on each petition.
Well, yes, but can't you file part petitions? I mean, that's done all the time.
Your Honor, that was the totality of the petitions she filed. All her petitions totaled 76, 77, 80. I mean, 76, 77, less than 80. Every petition she filed, totality, she had three separate issues on the ballot.
Okay, that helps. Okay. So in other words, there was not one petition or a combination of petitions that had more than 80 different names.
That is correct.
Okay, fine. Now, if in fact that's so, why don't you argue, and I don't need to make your argument for you, but why would it not be, and I will ask your worthy adversary, if in fact you received notice of an invalid election process, did you have any obligation at all to do anything? Even if you received notice?
I mean,
how can you have an election that's invalid ab initio?
Your Honor, I 100% agree with you. You cannot have an election that's invalid ab initio. They did not meet, actually didn't meet on two states. One, they didn't have a number of votes. They didn't have a 35%. So it's often. They didn't have a predicate.
Not number of votes, number of signatures.
The number of signatures, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I apologize. The number of signatures. They did not have the valid number of signatures they needed on a local option election. The other thing, Your Honor, is they did not comply with the statute in terms of the affidavits that were attached to two out of those three sets of petitions. The affidavits on their face were clearly erroneous. Your Honor, could I believe the court that I have a few minutes and a
couple of you'll get 30 seconds if everyone else does when the red light goes on.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Legas. Mr. Trent.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please this court, my name is Tom Trent. I'm assistant prosecuting attorney from Park County. I represent the affiliated Park County Board of Elections. What the suit's complaint is attempting to do in this case is make an improper collateral attack on the results local option election in precinct 2I. Zeus makes two claims. First, this is the landlord of a permit holder has a due process right to notice of a local option election. And second, they make arguments about the deficiencies in the petition process. Since this is a case decided on a Rule 12b6 basis, it must appear beyond doubt that the complaint can state no set of facts entitled to the complaint for recovery. And it's the appellee's position that that is the case here. The trial court and the court of appeals correctly ruled because Zeus has no due process right to notice the local option election. And Zeus did not initiate a petition protest, a request for a recount, or an election contest action. And in fact, they lack the requisite standing to do so. In regard to Zeus's first claim, I believe it's disposed of by this court's ruling in State H.R. Cooper Restaurant.
That's what we just have to do. They lack the requisite standing for
the protest statute requires that protest be filed by either an elector in the precinct, which Zeus has forbidden to do not, or a permit holder. Those are the only persons who can file a protest action. Big Bear could have filed a protest action. I strongly disagree with counsel's contention that no one received effective notice in this case. Pretty fair, in fact, received two notices. Served in accordance with the statutory requirement. The first notice of circulation of petitions, and the second notice that the issues would be on the ballot.
Does the lack of standing to file election protests mean that you also don't have standing to do a collateral attack?
I believe it does, based on this court's holding in State X. Rel. Byrd, where this court stated that the remedies of election contests and recount are the sole and exclusive remedies for attacking or attempting to correct an election where there are alleged errors, fraud, or mistakes. This court has repeatedly stated that there is going to be a very short time frame within which people can challenge the results of elections. And that is because there is a strong public policy interest in elections being resolved quickly and with promptitude, and we can't leave these things open-ended for some later challenge down the road.
Counsel, the way these were always handled in the past is that some neighbors get disturbed about a bar in the neighborhood, and you circulate a petition to vote the bar dry, if you will, the neighborhood dry. That's one way you have the local option. The other is, if you're in a dry area and you want to make it wet, you file a petition to get a wet precinct. Have you seen any other cases where somebody is trying to go wet, loses, and everybody becomes dry?
I can't say I'm familiar with other cases, but the latter example you pose is the facts in this case.
Yes, sir.
There was someone who wanted to sell, and they put the issue on the ballot, and as a result, the issues were properly placed on the ballot pursuant to the Ohio liquor law statutes, and the results were that the precinct was voted dry.
Yes, sir, I can see all that to you, and I'm just asking, you know, I looked for some other authority because we never contemplated anything like this. You either try to defeat the local option on the basis that you wanted the establishment to stay open, or you were in favor of closing it, and so you filed those kind of petitions. Now suddenly we're getting what really amounts to unintended results, aren't we? I mean, you think the people in that precinct really wanted Big Bear not to be able to sell beer?
Well, I think that the will of people in the precinct was expressed at the November 98 election.
Good answer.
And that is a result that should be upheld. These people have, in fact, been disenfranchised in the results they voted for have not come to fruition. While a particular person may want to get a permit to sell, the only option available to them under current law is to put the question on, which is going to affect the entire precinct.
With the reconfiguration of the precincts here, which is not an unusual thing, that often happens, and often happens just almost before the election. You suddenly find out 6 months or 8 months before. So that's not unusual. But with the reconfiguration of these precincts, if in fact this case were reversed, would she, the petitioner in this case, is she in a location then that would be automatically become wet? Or is she in the adjacent precinct and only they would remain able to sell?
But if this court should reverse, the case will go back to the trial court. The complaint of Penn Traffic being fair remains pending state determination of this appeal. So there would be a number of issues to be resolved yet, and a reversal would merely require that Zeus be permitted to assert its complaint at the trial.
But do you know, would an ultimate ruling in their favor empower her to sell?
I don't believe it would.
Okay.
But there's no question, is there, that I think I'm missing something here, that the Big Bear could have filed, as the permit holder, Big Bear could have filed a challenge to the election, could it not?
No question about it.
And their argument seems to be we didn't know what the results of the election were because the control liquor control board didn't tell us, didn't advise us until after the time for challenging had expired.
I believe that's the argument Zeus is making here, yes.
And what's wrong with that argument? It would seem to me that, I guess, this isn't a legal argument, it seemed to me that the manager of a big bear store, if there'd been a local election to make the store dry, would have checked with the board of elections to see the next day to see what the result was. But I guess that's not required. What's your response to the lack of notice here? You've done it in brief, but I've
been
interested. Well, I think in terms of the lack of notice, I don't believe they have a constitutional due process of notice. I think the permit owner in Zeus goes to lengths in his brief to talk about whether or not the liquor permit is a property right, and that's not the issue in this appeal. The question is whether the expectation of profit the landlord permit owner has is a property right. And I don't believe it is. If more than the landlord is now required to give notice to the landlord of the permit owner, would they also be required to give notice to other persons who have contractual relationships with the permit owner and who would be adversely affected by a negative vote?
Well, a supplier, somebody.
A food supplier.
Yeah.
There could be a whole list of folks that might be adversely affected, and if due process rights are based upon a unilateral expectation of profit, somebody else's liquor permit, then that places quite a burden on police election. Simple issue presented for the court. We'll see that we have the stipulations that the states were made in determining the number of signatures required on the petition. While that may strike some as unfair, I point to this court's holding in Byrd. In Byrd, there were three candidates running for two seats on board elections. Following the certification results, it became apparent that the person who originally had been determined to come in third had actually received more votes than another person and should have been elected. But this court said because of that strong public policy interest in determining the results of elections quickly, that Hurd could not later bring a collateral attack if he had not availed himself of the exclusive preference.
You just don't want to give a big bear hug, do you?
So with unless there are any further questions, the Board of Elections would request that this court affirm the decision before the appeal.
Thank you, Mr. Kemp. Mr. Lagos, you've used your time, but you may take 30 seconds.
Now, I'll have to get a couple things very quickly. First of all, since you know the Brook Park case, the intervening respondent that brought the act, there was a significant moving force in that case, and that liquor license election, was indeed the shopping center owner. Our brief has pointed out how we believe Brook Park can be distinguished. There's no question in this case that the predicate act was not met. There were not 35% of the electors in the preceding election for governor. There were not signatures from those obtained. That's important. This particular statute, unlike a lot of election statutes, does not have a token number of electors that you need, for example, to get your name on the election ballot. It has a significant percentage. It has a 35% percentage that was not met.
Zeus apparently is in this position because Big Bear didn't do something it could have done. Is that right?
Zeus is in that position for two reasons. Yes, because if Big Bear had notified Zeus, certainly Zeus would have done something. And it's also in this position, Your Honor, because the way the statute reads, it does not provide notice to the most person that could be most affected, that being Zeus Shopping Center Inc. The series of Ohio cases in the liquor area have said, well, you know, the permit holder can move its permit. The shopping center owner cannot move its shopping center.
Well, but wouldn't the members of the General Assembly in drafting this or the Liquor Control Board with the regulation think, well, now who's the person, entity that's most interested in whether they have a liquor permit? They would think first of the person holding the permit, wouldn't they? And then there are landlords, sure, and maybe suppliers of a business, or wouldn't the permit holder be the first entity that one would think of?
Yes, Your Honor, but in this particular case, in the case of Southern Village Shopping Center, one of the three other permit holders that allegedly got notice, they did or not, I don't know, but allegedly got notice, for example, was a drugstore that was planning to move out of the shopping center, had built a new location in another precinct, very close, but in another precinct. And indeed, I'm certain that that particular retail tenant had a vested interest in seeing that the Southern Village would go dry. So in that particular case, that particular person, since they were moving their shopping center to a location close to a location close, had a vested interest in not seeing that the shopping center owner was indeed notified, and indeed that subsequent but the drugstore right away subsequently moved out of the center.
Couldn't you have written into your contract with the tenant the duty to notify you promptly of any different options that affect your interest?
That's correct. Zeus could have. This particular lease would take care of those back many years. In retrospect, it's an excellent idea. However, the problem you've got is when you take a look at the liquor license laws in the state of Ohio, they seem to be changing literally on almost a biennial basis. So I don't think any shopping center owner can take what's going to happen.
You're going to go straight through.
Thank you, Flagler.
Thank you all. I appreciate it.
Okay, submitted. You'll be advised for opinion.